Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android app store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
Take notes right on your phone and then send them to yourself. But today I'm excited because I want to continue on in part three of our sermon series, One Word. And I want to talk about the word contentment. Somebody say contentment. Somebody say contentment. Say it like you mean it. Say contentment. That's what I'm going to talk about today. And we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. And I think we are live on Facebook. And so to all of our Facebook community, we want to say welcome to all of you guys. Y'all make some noise for our online community. All those who are watching, grateful for you guys. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13 is where I want to spend just the next few moments of us talking about what God's word has to say about contentment. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to read this scripture. Father, we thank you, God, for your grace and love. We thank you, Lord, that you make all things new. We pray that you would speak your word to us in a way that is fresh. Speak it to us in a way where we can apply it and live it out to become the better for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13 says this: I rejoiced in the Lord greatly because once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lack the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content. Everybody say content. In whatever circumstances I find myself, I know both how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being, everybody say it together, content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. Verse 13. Everybody knows this for the most part. I am able to do all things through Christ or through him who strengthens me. I'm going to talk about contentment. I came across this quote from a guy by the name of Doug Larson who said that the world is full of people looking for spectacular happiness while they snub contentment. The world is filled with people looking for happiness but overlooking contentment. And I found that to be very interesting because if there's one thing that I believe it's true, is that all of us struggle with contentment. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how we can have trust issues. Many of us in here have trust issues. But today, I believe that God is speaking a word to us on contentment because many of us have contentment issues. We wrestle when it comes to this word contentment. And the lack of contentment that we oftentimes exhibit or have in our lives, it is the reason why we will find ourselves making impulsive decisions. That because we are not content with what we have or where we are, we can find ourselves putting ourselves in situations that God never intended for us to be in. We can find ourselves trying to fill ourselves only to be left empty. Contentment. Somebody say contentment. And I believe that today, one of the greatest things that God wants us to undergo is to undergo some growth and possess contentment. That he wants us to grow in our contentment. That one of the biggest issues in today's generation that we wrestle with is this aspect of contentment. Why is this the case? Is because we live in a case where in a society and we live at a time where we bless God for technology and things that move quickly in our life. But as a result of that, it can also cause us to be discontent because we want things to happen swiftly or happen in the way that we want them to happen. And so now as a consequence, we find ourselves making not just impulsive decisions, but now costly decisions. So now we end up in relationships that we had no business being in because you weren't content being alone and being where God wanted you to be. Somebody say contentment. So what Paul talks about here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, is this whole aspect of contentment. But just to give us some context, in Philippians, Paul is writing to believers in this area in first century Greco-Roman context called Philippi. And the people of Philippi, churches that the Apostle Paul planted in this area, you probably would see that after you read the book of Philippians, that this might have been Paul's favorite church to write to, because they had amazing care and concern for Paul. Notice what he says in verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly because once again, you renewed your care for me. Notice here that Paul is commending the believers here because of their care for their apostle or for their pastor, somebody who's helped them grow spiritually. They are making sure that they are honoring their pastor and honoring the leadership. And Paul even kind of goes a little bit further in the next part of this verse and says, you were in fact concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. And so now what Paul is saying is even though you wanted to show it, you didn't necessarily have the opportunity to always show it, but your heart was there. Your heart was there to want to show love and concern. And I want to pause parenthetically and remind us that the principle that God's word is reminding us of is this, that we are called to care for all people, from leadership to the person who walks through our doors for the first time. Everybody matters to God. That it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. God is for all people, which is why we say we are called to be a church for all people. Now, the problem is we oftentimes will pick and choose how we love and how we honor people. So some of us are very inclined to love people that we agree with. Other of us are inclined to love people maybe that we don't agree with. God says, I want you to have more of a balanced approach where you love all people. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what their affiliation is. It doesn't matter where their social status is. It doesn't matter what their color is. It doesn't matter what their background is, that we are called to care for all people. And Paul is commending the believers here in Philippi for the fact that they had a care and concern to take care of Paul. As a matter of fact, later on in this same chapter, in verse 18, Paul would mention a guy by the name of Epaphroditus, who the Philippians sent to Paul while Paul was in prison to take him some gifts. He's commending them for all that they've done. But in the middle of Paul talking about their care and their concern for Paul while he's in prison, it's interesting that he says this: you were in fact concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. And he says this in the next verse: I don't say this out of need, for I have learned the secret to be content in whatever circumstances I found myself. Now here's what I want us to see here. Paul is helping the believers to realize, like, hey, I'm not disappointed that you guys couldn't support me even though you wanted to. I'm not disappointed that you didn't send in any more gifts, even though you may have wanted to. And he uses a word to describe why he's not disappointed. And he says it here in verse 11. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content. Somebody say content. Paul didn't get all the gifts that they may have wanted to give him. He's in prison. He's writing this from prison. This is called one of the prison epistles that the Apostle Paul was writing. But Paul says, hey, you know what, guys? I'm good. I'm content. In the original language of the Greek of the New Testament, this word content simply means to be satisfied. It means enough. It means to be full. Somebody say full. Paul is helping us see some characteristics about contentment by how he's articulating his need and his perspective to the Philippian believers. But as he begins to talk about contentment, there's some things here that I believe he mentions that I want us to take note of. Number one is this: as Paul talks about contentment, he teaches us some stuff about it. And the first thing that he teaches us, first truth and principle, is this. He teaches us about the strangeness of contentment. Somebody say strange. Somebody say strange. Watch what he says in verse 11. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. Paul gives a picture of contentment biblically, and it's strange because it runs contrary to the values of this world. Why is it strange, Pastor? The number one reason why contentment is strange here is because contentment is not conditional. Notice what Paul, all the language that he says in verse 11 and verse 12. He says, whatever the circumstances, I'm content. In any and all circumstances, I'm content. Whether well-fed or hungry, I'm content. Whether in abundance or in need, I am content. Here is what Paul is helping us understand. Contentment is not based upon how much I have or how much I don't have. It's not based upon possessions. It's not based upon the condition of my situation. It's something much greater than that. And a lot of times, the world will convince us that you will be content when you have more of something. Or if you don't have enough of something, then you can't be content. So the age-old lie is, get more stuff and you'll be more content. Get a bigger house and you'll be more content. Get more money and you'll be more content. Get some new hair and you'll be more content. Just had to make you guys laugh because y'all were looking real serious right there. That's what culture tells us, that you got to do this and you got to do that in order for you to be content. And Paul is lifting up something completely different. He says, I know what it's like to have an empty stomach. I know what it's like to have a full stomach. I know what it's like to have clothes on my back. I know what it's like to not have full clothes on my back. But no matter what, I was still and am still content. He says, I'm satisfied. I'm full. Matter of fact, here's what he was saying in 1 Timothy chapter 6. As he's talking about this aspect of money and wealth, he says, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world. I don't know if you knew that or not. And we can't take anything with us when we leave it. Have you ever seen a U-Haul truck following a hearse? Never. Because you can't take anything with you when you leave. Notice what he says in verse 8. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Watch what he says now in verse 9. Do not miss this. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. There is nothing wrong with money. It is wrong when money has you. That's when it becomes an issue. He says, and some people craving money, all they want is money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Paul says, it's not about how much you have. It's not about how much you don't have. That is not what it means to be content. Have you guys ever said to yourselves, I'll be happy when I get this, and then you got it and you still weren't happy? Because contentment is not based upon temporary things. Contentment is not based upon possessions, positions, or power. That is not what leads to true contentment. Some of us have said, if I just get in a relationship, I'll be happy. Let me help you understand, getting in a relationship, especially not the right one, can lead to you experiencing more pain. Contentment is so much bigger and so much more than possessions. But notice next what Paul says in verse 12. He talks about all the circumstances. He talks about how no matter what situation he finds himself in, he says, I'm still content. But verse 12, he says this, I know both how to make do with little and I know how to make do with a lot in any and all circumstances. Watch what he says. I have learned the secrets of being content. The secrets. Have y'all ever played that game back in the day called telephone? Where you had to, you know, tell somebody something and they had to go tell somebody else something and they had to keep passing along. And then by the time you got to the end of the line, it was all mumble jumble. It was not exactly what you had started it off. Anybody ever did that before? You know what I'm talking about? You told them a secret and then that secret was just all messed up. Yeah, that's kind of what Paul is saying here. That it's not common. What makes contentment strange is that it's not common. It's a secret. And not everybody knows the secret to contentment. He says, I've learned the secret to contentment, which means I had to go through some stuff to learn it. Same thing with us. We've had to endure some things. We've had to go through some stuff and some drama in our life in order for us to be able to learn what true contentment is. Maybe it took us losing a whole lot for us to finally learn what contentment looks like. Paul says here, contentment is not based upon not just conditions, but contentment is also, it's not common. And our world aims to find contentment in all these other things, but we have not found it in our world because the line is constantly moving. So they say every year it's always like, if you just get this amount of money, you'll be satisfied. That changes 2 years from now. And if I built my life based upon those temporary things, my life will always be unstable. But God is trying to get us to a place where we can have some contentment. Contentment is not common. If it was common, everybody would have it. It's not common. Now, do not misunderstand what I'm saying here. Contentment does not mean complacency. It does not mean that I just twiddle my thumbs. It does not mean that I just sit back and do nothing. We can easily confuse the two. Contentment does not mean being complacent or lacking drive. It does not mean that I don't aspire for something. It does not mean that I don't move forward. Paul says he was content here, but yet he was not complacent while he was in prison. He was still advancing the gospel. So let me say it like this. Contentment does not mean I'm being complacent where I am. It means I'm being faithful where I am. Let me kind of hang out here for a moment. Because God wants to grow you in your contentment. And the way he wants to grow you in your contentment is by helping you become faithful with what you have and with where you are in life. It's real quiet right now. Must be good. Contentment is not about all the resources. Contentment is not about having more. Contentment is about doing more with where you are and with what you have. Which is why Paul says, I know how to make do with little and how to make do with much. Let's be honest in here. Many of us have had some rough nights when it's come to food. And you've gotten real creative with dinner sometimes. When you looked in the pantry and you saw a little box of cereal and a little drop of milk and your bank account was a little low, it's dinner tonight. Fruity Pebbles. Now, I'm going to be real with y'all. That's a good dinner for me. Come on, somebody. That's some good eating right there, man. Man, big bowl of Fruity Pebbles. Big one. That's when I'm asking Jesus, multiply this. Let this feel like it's three bowls in one. Turn water into wine. You can make this increase in Jesus' name. But here's a test of your contentment. Let me ask you this question. Are you being faithful with what you have and with where you are? You know what our prayer typically, let me jump into your prayer life. I'm real prophetic right now. You know what most of our prayer lives, God, give me more. Pastor, how did you know that? Because all of us do it. Give me more. Give me more increase on my job. Give me a bigger house. Give me this. Give me this. You could just make a whole album called Give Me. It'll be the number one selling album in America because that's what everybody wants. Give me. I want more. And God is more concerned not about giving you more, but by you doing more with what he's already given you. The test of contentment is, are you faithful with what you have and with where you are? People would ask me plenty of times as we started our church, planted our church, aren't you sick and tired of being portable and setting up and tearing down? Aren't you looking forward to the day where you'll be in your own building? I was like, sure. I mean, yeah, that'll be awesome. But you know what? I've learned to be faithful where we are. Because the one thing that I don't want to do is end up trying to get into a place that God doesn't want us to be and end up killing us and putting more strain on us. So you know what? We're going to be faithful with where God has us. And when he opens up the door for us to walk through, that's when we do it. Oh, by the way, we're here. It's all about being content and being faithful where you are. I remember a few years ago, my wife and I, like, our family was growing, and we were like, man, we need to get a new house and this, that, and the third, and, you know, we need to continue to expand. And I remember we had this moment where we were really frustrated. It was like God spoke a word to our hearts and said, you know, you're asking me to give you more, but are you doing more with what I've given you? Are you being faithful? Are you really maximizing everything that I've given you already? Because if you can't be faithful over a few things, how will you be faithful over much? Contentment is all about, can I be faithful where I am? It's all about, can I maximize what God has already given me? And I'm not saying not to ask God for more, but my question, the thing that I want to submit to you is, before you ask God for more, ask yourself, have I done more with what God has already given? Have I done much with it? God, I just need more time to spend with you. but you spend hours on Facebook every day. You got plenty of time. I just need more time to go work out. Maybe get up earlier. Maybe stop saying yes to everything so you can say yes to the right things. Contentment is about being faithful with what you have. Somebody say contentment. It's about using what you have. It's about maximizing what you have. And Paul is trying to help us understand, I've learned to be content wherever God has me. With whatever it is that I have, I've learned to be content. And as a church, one thing, even as a pastor, I'm content with wherever God has us, but I will never be complacent. We will never be complacent with the mission that he's called us to. So we would never be complacent when it comes to making disciples. We would never become complacent when it comes to serving people. I'm content with the results. I'm content with whatever God does. But the thing that we can control is output and obedience. That's what we can control. Being faithful. Using what he's given us. Being intentional with making the most, making the entire thing stretch. Getting the last drop out of that orange as possible. That's what it's about. About being faithful with what you have. That's what contentment is all about. It's about maximizing what you have. But here's the tension here in this text. And I don't want you to miss this. The tension in this text is that Paul is talking about being content while he's in prison. Y'all missed it. I'll say it again. Paul says, satisfied. I'm full. I'm good, y'all. And he's writing this and saying this while he's locked up in prison. Here's the question. How can you experience contentment in the middle of confinement? How can you have contentment in confinement? How can you have tranquility in the midst of trouble? How can you have peace in the middle of your problems? Has anybody ever been there before? Where you found yourself in difficult situations, in troubling situations where you feel like it wasn't changing, it wasn't improving, it wasn't growing, it wasn't getting better. How can you say you are content, Paul, even though you are in the middle of a prison cell? And by all means, prison back then was not like it is today. It was worse. It was dark. It was filled with manure. It was filled with feces. It was not the most comfortable place. It was a nasty, terrible place. But yet Paul has the audacity to say, I'm content. All of us in here, myself included, will not utter those words at all. I'm not content with this sitting right here next to me. I'm not content with these smells and rats over here and this over here, and I can't see nothing. I'm not content with that. Some of us are real spiritual. I'd be content with that, pastor. No, you wouldn't. You're lying. Lying self. No, you wouldn't. You complain about the AC not working in your car. You're going to be content in Paul's condition? Absolutely not. Paul says, I've learned to be content. Let me also say this. Notice that Paul, in the middle of his contentment, is not lifting up any complaints. He's not complaining in the middle of his situation. I believe that some of the things that God wants to do in our life has a lot to do with him first delivering us from a complaining and critical spirit. Some of the reason why God has not moved in our lives yet is not because God's not ready, it's because you're not. It's because you complain about everything. You're critical about everything. Everything. You complain. God could have moved the mountains in your life and you will find a way to complain. Why you ain't moving sooner? Anybody ever done that other than me? Well, you'll take a good thing and end up turning it upside down. You'll end up complaining about it. Just complaining. Paul never complains, not one moment. Now, we're not saying Paul's perfect. Paul had his share of struggles. He talks about that in Romans 7. But he's helping us to see a disposition that I believe that God wants us all to have, where we learn the value of contentment and we learn what contentment is all about, and we're not complaining with where we are. And I get it. It's hard. It's difficult. I found myself in situations where it would be more easier to complain. But let me help you understand something. Complaining just gives you a temporary high. You come back down to reality real quick after that. It still ain't changed the condition of your situation. Complain about the AC all you want. You still ain't got it. Now you're sweating and upset. That's a bad combination. I can't believe Jesus ain't giving this AC. mad. Your temperature done went all up to a whole nother level because you're mad. Really? Let me help us also understand something. If you find yourself constantly around critical people, you want to know the best thing that you can do for your life? Cut them off. Because it's not going to help you. It's going to damage your contentment level. Now, some of us have an issue with that and may have a struggle with that because you're married to some people who are very critical. You need to pray for them right now. Seriously, let me stop right there. We can do marriage counseling if you need it. But Paul gets into something a little bit deeper, and I got to move. He says this. He says, I've learned a secret to be content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. Verse 13, he says this. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul lets out the secrets to why he can say, I've learned how to be content in any and every situation. Do you want to know what the secret is to my contentment? I have a source, and his name is Jesus. Now he moves to talking about the source of contentment. The secret to being content in any and every situation is Jesus. I know many of us in here were looking for something much deeper. You were looking for 10 steps to contentment and all that good stuff. I want to let you know today that if you want peace in your life, if you want to experience joy in your life, if you want to experience contentment in your life, it will only come through Jesus. He is the source of your contentment. He is. Nothing else. Not more money. Not a bigger bank account. Not a better relationship. Not a better car. Not a better house. Jesus is. Notice the words that he says here. I'm able to do all things. What were the all things? All the things that he just mentioned in verse 11 and 12. How to make it with a lot. How to make it with nothing. How to have a little bit. How to have a lot. He says, I'm able to do all things through Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who brings satisfaction and contentment. He's the source of all things. He's the source of my joy. He's the source of my hope. He's the source of my satisfaction. He is the source of my fulfillment. That is why you've been trying to go fill yourself with so many other things and still feel empty. Because there's only one source to your contentment, and that's Jesus. Here's what Jesus will say in Matthew 11. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. In other words, I will satisfy you. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Contentment comes from Jesus. Satisfaction comes from Jesus. Everything that you need in life comes from Jesus. He is the source of all things. He is the source of your joy. He is the source of your contentment. He is the source of your satisfaction. It is only in and through Jesus where contentment is found. Nothing else. Not another relationship. Not another boo. Not a new job. Not a new career. It is found only in Jesus. Here's what one of the early church fathers, St. Augustine, would say. You have made us for yourself, O Lord. And our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. I love that. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Teenagers, if you're here today, let me help you understand something. You will not find any type of contentment and any type of satisfaction in anything else except Jesus. If you're married here today, you will not find any type of contentment and any type of satisfaction in your... It's not about your marriage. It's about you being married to Jesus. Because out of that flows everything else. It impacts your relationship. It impacts your marriage. It impacts your life as a young person. It doesn't matter who you are. Contentment is only found in Jesus. And the lie that we believe in our generation is that Jesus and what he has done for me is not enough for me. So we'll venture outside of the Father's house. We'll venture outside of a relationship with Jesus to try to fill ourselves. This is why we allow money to determine our decisions. Because Jesus is not enough. This is why we'll just marry anybody. See, a lack of contentment causes you to settle for God's not best in your life, but for the worst in your life. But when you have Jesus, you're no longer content with settling. You want to settle on what he has for you. Contentment is found in Jesus. And the good news is that the contentment that Jesus gives you today, it's not rooted in your performance. It's rooted in who he is and his performance. It's rooted in what he's done for you. Contentment is not based on possessions. It is based upon a person, and his name is Jesus. That's what it's about. Contentment is found when we allow what Jesus has done on the cross and through his resurrection to shape how we look at our lives, to shape how we look at our marriages, to shape how I look at my life as a teenager. Contentment in Christ allows me to look at things from a holistic, God-honoring perspective, which is the way that God wanted me to look at it in the first place. That's what it's about. Contentment is found in Jesus. It's not found in anything else. It's not found in resources. It's not found in possessions. It's not found in power. It's not found in accolades. It's not found in accomplishments. It is found in Jesus. But let me also help us understand something, that you will realize that the more you take your eyes off Jesus, the more discontent you will be in life. Matter of fact, some of us here who have strayed away from God, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you've tried all these other things. You know the goodness of God, but somewhere along the way, maybe you got tripped up. Maybe you kind of fell back. Maybe you kind of slipped back into some tendencies and you begin to experience discontentment. And here's the reason why. Because we become discontent when we focus on the deficiencies of our lives rather than the sufficiency of Jesus. You will always be discontent when you focus on what you are lacking in your life rather than focusing on how Jesus wants to fill your life. When you focus on the sufficiency of Christ, that is when you realize, I'm good. So whether I got a whole lot or a little bit, I got Jesus, I'm straight. Oh, y'all like this type of preaching. You want the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, call it and haul it theology stuff. Paul's like, no. I'm good. If I'm a millionaire, I'm good because I got Jesus. If I'm broke as a joke, only got two nickels to rub together to make a dime, I'm good because I got Jesus. I'm good, whether I got a 3,000 foot square foot home or whether I got a 900 square foot townhouse, I'm good because I got Jesus. It may not be comfortable, but I'm content. Please don't mix up the two. Contentment does not mean being comfortable. There was nothing comfortable about Paul being in a prison, but he was content. And God wants to get us to a place where we are content, where we find our contentment only in Jesus and only through Jesus. And let me say this, that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. You don't need anything else in addition to Jesus. That's why the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:3, for he has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. Everything that you need comes through Jesus. He supplies the relationships. He supplies the resources. He supplies the healing. He supplies the tangible things that you're looking to him for. He supplies everything that you need in life. Can I get a good amen, somebody? That's what he does. He supplies it, not you. Jesus is the one who does it. But some of us are saying, but Pastor, like, I get what you're saying about Jesus, but Jesus doesn't want me because I've messed up and I've been disobedient. I've been running from him and I've not honored him and I've done terrible things. Let me help you understand something. Jesus' love for you has not changed, not one drop, not one second. His love for you is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His love has not changed based upon you changing. His love stays the same. So it does not matter what your pain is, what your past is, what your shame is. Jesus is for you. Jesus wants to fill you. As a matter of fact, the guy who is writing this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was somebody who was completely far from Jesus and, matter of fact, hated Jesus. But check out what he says in Philippians chapter 3, a chapter earlier, verses 7 through 11. He says, he's talking about, prior to this, he's talking about all the things that he had in life. But notice what he says next. I once thought all these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. What did Jesus do? He went to the cross. He died for my sins. He reconciled me back to God. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discovered everything else, counting it all as garbage. He says, everything in life is garbage compared to Jesus. That's some strong words, Paul. Really? Is Paul diminishing the value of relationships? No, he's not. Is he diminishing the value of having a good job? No, he's not. What he's saying is, if you look to those things for your value, you will always be discontent. He says, but I've realized after chasing those things and even having those things, I've discovered that all those things are like garbage. And I've discovered that so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. He says, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Notice what he says in verse 10. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I want to know Christ. He says, that's all I want. I want to know Jesus. That's it. I want Jesus to be the center of everything in my life. That's it. That's it, Paul. You don't want more money? No, I want more Jesus. You don't want a marriage? No, I want more Jesus. Now, if God has marriage for you, all right, go ahead. You don't want a bigger car? You don't want this? You don't want that? No, I want more of Jesus, because if I get more of Jesus, he'll send the things that he wants me to have. I want more of Jesus. I want our church to be a church full of people who say, I want more of Jesus. That's why the Bible says, blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, for they will be filled. I want more of Jesus. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. He says, I want to know Jesus. That's what I want. I want more of Jesus. The secret to Paul's contentment was he wanted more of Jesus, and he had more of Jesus. You want to know what the secret and the source of your contentment in life is going to be? Having more of Jesus. Let me ask you just a real question right now. Is your desire to have more of Jesus or to have more of what Jesus wants to give you? Is it, I want his hand but don't want his heart? Because you'll never get his hand if you never have his heart. But when you get his heart, delight yourself in the Lord. It'll give you the desires of your heart. When your heart is rooted in Jesus, that's when things begin to flow in your life. Which is why then later Paul would say in Philippians 4, later on in the same chapter, verse 19, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Why can Paul say this? Because he was rooted and grounded and tethered in Jesus. His identity was so wrapped up in Jesus and his love for him that everything else in life began to take a back seat. But the awesome thing about it was Jesus made sure he had every single need met in his life. And I want to encourage you today that contentment in Christ does not mean that you are not going to have what you need. No, it's the complete opposite. When you are content in Christ, he will make sure you have everything that you need, when you need it, how you need it. He will make sure that he will send blessings your way. He will open up doors. He will answer prayers. He will do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or imagine, because you found your contentment in him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto you. Seek Jesus. Tell the person beside you, seek Jesus. That's what it's about this morning. I want you to seek Jesus. You want to know how to be content where you are? Have Jesus. Follow Jesus. Be rooted in Jesus. You want to know the secret to being satisfied and to having a full life? It's not by having more money. It's not by having a better career. It's not by having a lot of kids. Having a fullness in Christ is all about being in Christ. That's what it's all about. Having Christ, the incarnate one, dwelling on the inside of you. Your value, your identity flows from Jesus and what he says about you. Not anything else, not anyone else, not anywhere else. It is all about Jesus. That's it. That's it. Paul says it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, we butchered that scripture and we've applied it to so many different things in life. I can fly because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You could try to fly all you want to. Jump off a building without a parachute. Jesus said, I could do all things. You gonna see Jesus real quick? Paul's not talking about that. He says, for every life struggle that I experience, for every situation that I find myself in, I can endure it. I can be content in the middle of it because I can do all things through Christ. Why? Because he strengthens me. He gives me strength. He empowers me through the power of his Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of me through faith in Christ. That's what he does. He indwells and he equips me. You want to know how you can make it through struggles in life? It's not going to come from your strength. It's going to come from the strength of Jesus. That's it. You want to know how you can find joy and satisfaction? It's going to come through Jesus. That's it. Nothing else. Everything else in this world gives you a temporary high, only leaving you feeling lower than you actually felt before you got the high. Jesus takes you to a place that this world cannot provide, that this world cannot guide, that this world cannot take you to. And here's the question I want to ask you in closing. Are you tired? Are you exhausted? Are you restless? Are you anxious? Let me help us understand something. Being anxious is a sign of discontentment, which is why Paul earlier in Philippians 4 and verses 6 through 7, he says, don't worry about anything. That word worry is the same word that's used to describe anxiety and anxiousness in the Bible. It's like Paul saying, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God. The peace of God. Somebody say peace. It's the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. Notice what he says lastly. In Christ Jesus. The key to peace, the key to fullness, the key to satisfaction is found in Christ Jesus. Let me say this. Contentment isn't based upon conditions. It's based upon Christ. That's it. It's based upon Jesus. It's based upon who he is and what he did for us on the cross and through his resurrection. When I look at the cross, when I look at the resurrection, that's where contentment is found. That's when satisfaction is found. That's when fulfillment is found. And many of us have been looking to all these other things, trying to figure out, why do I still feel empty? Why do I still feel drained? Why do I still feel anxious? Because your aim is wrong. You're focused on the wrong thing. But when you get your aim right and when you focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, that's when you experience contentment and satisfaction. That's when you experience it. So my question I want to ask you today is this. Are you content right now? Not are you comfortable, are you content? You can be comfortable and still not be content. Are you content? Are you full? Are you satisfied? With every head bowed and every eye closed, here's what I want you to do right now, right where you are. You're seated in that chair. I want you to examine your heart, and I want you to have an honest conversation with yourself. And ask yourself this question. Self, am I really content? Am I really content with where I am? Am I content? It doesn't have anything to do with your situation. It has everything to do with your soul. Are you content? Can you say stuff like, you know what? I don't got a whole lot of money, but you know what? I'm good. I got peace. I got fulfillment. I got joy. Because if you can't say that, it means that you're looking to everything else to give you contentment, but the only one who will give you contentment, the source of that is Jesus. And I want to let you know this morning, I want to give you this good news and let you know, not only can Jesus give it to you, he wants to give it to you. He wants to give you contentment. He says, I see you struggling. I see you right now in life dissatisfied and discontent. I see your restlessness. I see your anxiety. But I want you to know that I'm here this morning for you so that way you can find rest in me. That's what he's saying to you this morning. And if you're here this morning, there's two things I want to do, two prayers that I want to lead us in. The number one, the first prayer is this. If you're saying, Pastor, this is me. I need to find contentment. I've been trying to find it in all these other things. I thought if I had more money, I'd be more content. I'd be satisfied. I thought if I had a better career, I'd be more satisfied. I thought if I had a marriage, I'd be more satisfied. I thought if I got a better car, I'd be more satisfied. If I had more followers on Instagram and more people on Snapchat and on Facebook, that I would be satisfied. And all those things have not really left me satisfied. It's left me feeling even more empty. But today, I'm tired of running. Today, I no longer want to look to those things for contentment. But today, I want to look to Jesus for my contentment. I want this today to be the first day that I begin to experience the true contentment that Jesus gives. If that is your desire, and if that is your prayer, and if that is your hope, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Fill my heart. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life, so that I could have contentment, so that I could be accepted. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for filling me. In Jesus' name. While every head is still bowed this morning, if you're here, maybe you're a follower of Christ, maybe you're in a relationship with Jesus, but you can be honest and say, but Pastor, you know, I drifted. I took my eyes off of Jesus for a moment, and I started to focus on my job. I started to focus on this. I started to focus on all these external things, thinking that it would satisfy me and fill me, but it actually left me more frustrated. But today I want to come back home. Today I want to recommit myself to him, and today I want to get back on track. Today I want to realign my focus on Jesus. I want him to be the source of my contentment. I want him to be the one who satisfies me and fills me so that way I can say what Paul says. I've learned the secret to be content in any and every situation. If that's you, and you can say honestly, I've strayed away this morning, but today I want to come back home. I want to start again. If that's you, while nobody's looking, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, could you just lift up your hand really quick? Amen. 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 Father, for every hand lifted, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they would find contentment in Christ. Not in anything else, not in the condition of circumstances, but in the character of you. I pray that today, Lord, that as we realign our focus on Jesus, that we would come to know you in a greater way, that we would come to experience the joy and the satisfaction that you long to give us. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done this morning. For the contentment that Jesus gives. Amen. If you're here this morning and you prayed that first prayer, you gave your life to Christ, we call that a commitment prayer, a prayer of faith, where you're saying no to everything else and saying yes to Jesus. I want to let you know, number one, you have made the greatest decision that you will ever make. All of heaven is rejoicing, so we as a church, we rejoice. Church family, make some noise for those who gave their life to Christ. Amen. Doesn't matter what your age is, Jesus is for you. And so if you did pray that first prayer, what I want you to do is I want you to take that connection card that's in the seat pocket in front of you. I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today.